Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can also listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. And make sure you like and share the John Whitmer Show on Facebook. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at John R. Whitmer. You know, Dave, with this intro music, I'm afraid Congressman Estes is going to think that we're calling him the monster in the Monster Mash song and not think that this just happens to be Halloween themed. That's the fear here. Congressman, you're in studio with us tonight. No, this is not because you're the monster from Monster Mash. This is Dave. We're going to say this is Dave music. It's just themed. Joining us now is our 4th District Congressman, Ron Estes. Congressman, thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you, and I will accept that that was Halloween music.
Well,
it's
for
and
Reuben.
Not targeted.
Yeah, it's for Reuben's the monster tonight. So, actually, Laura Lombard, and I said that, you didn't. So, but thank you for joining us. It's nice to have you back on the show.
Well, it's great to be back. I always enjoy coming on and talking about all the different things that are going on across the country and across the state and the district. And
well, you know, it's great to have you. It's been a while, and you appreciate you coming. You literally, I think, just got off a plane here, you know, not too long ago. You've been swamped. I know you've been busy with all the stuff going on, and unfortunately, from what I understand, you don't necessarily control your schedule, your calendar. How bad is it having to live on what Nancy Pelosi controls your calendar?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that's different that I didn't realize till I got there is how much more power the majority has in the U.S. House of Representatives than they do in the Kansas House of Representatives. So just the control over setting rules, setting the schedule, setting the calendar, setting activities of what we can do. And so typical election year, we're not in D.C. during most of the month of October. So we haven't had formal House sessions in the last couple of weeks. But we obviously, because of an opportunity to get out and about and talk with folks in the district and talk about what's going on.
Well, and you've been traveling. I know you've been going around the district, making appearances, and obviously you're campaigning. One of the things I did want to ask you about, I get your newsletter, and so I see the stuff that you've been putting out there, and you've been trying to help educate voters on certain things that have been going on. I saw a fact sheet that you emailed out not too long ago about Operation Warp Speed. The president mentioned it the other night, Thursday night, in the debate. But I don't know if people really understand what Operation Warp Speed is, unless, you know, they're talking about a Star Trek episode or something. But what is Operation Warp Speed? Obviously, it's the hope to get the vaccine out. And is that really what they're really focusing on?
So what we did when we passed all, you know, as COVID-19 disease was happening and we were learning more every day about what was going on, but seeing it was a critical disease and having an impact on people. I mean, we were able to last spring to come together with 4 bipartisan bills and able to focus on some relief. And that was before the politics started. But one of the bills we focused on was how to make sure we funded treatment development as well as vaccine development. So we set up this program called Operation Warp Speed that Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control are running. And basically what they're doing is we're using federal funds to help expedite the development that these drug companies are using to go develop vaccines. And so basically what we're doing is we're pre-buying doses of vaccines to enable the drug companies to have manufacturing capability and have funding to do their research and development. Normally, a vaccine development can take 18 months to 10 years or so, depending on the vaccine, depending on the trials, Every time you go through a vaccine development, there's more fail than pass going through the testing process. So we want to make sure that we still have a safe vaccine that comes out. And what we're doing is using the federal allocated money to fund the research and development. And while the drug companies go through the process, they're actually following their phase one and phase two and phase three trials. And once they get to phase three, we'll actually come in and sign an agreement with them to say, okay, let's start manufacturing. We want to pre-buy millions of doses. And the drug company then can start to work the kinks out of their manufacturing process, start to develop vaccine doses while they're still testing in phase three. And actually, we have people in and around here in the 4th District that are in some of these drug trials in terms of proving the concept of how good the vaccines are going. So what we're really doing is, in parallel, doing some manufacturing. At the same time, we're finishing the testing. Now, we want to make sure the testing gets finished. We want to make sure that it gets signed off by the FDA, make sure that it's approved and legitimate. We know we're running a bit of a risk that some of those vaccines that are developed by all the different drug companies some of them won't pass. And so we will have spent some money on setting up manufacturing that won't come to bear. But I'm really confident we will have vaccine. I mean, all the experts are saying we'll have one. We'll have multiple vaccines in the first quarter of next year. And we may even have one or two before the end of this calendar year. There's three different approaches being used to develop the vaccines. And multiple drug companies from, you know, Moderna and J&J and Gilead and all of them that are in the process. So there's multiple companies taking each one of those three drug processes or three vaccine development processes. And so I'm really comfortable that we'll have vaccine development, and it'll be great in terms of getting that product out. And By pre-buying the doses, we'll have a lot of doses available to start the process. And then it will take some time to roll out to everybody across the country giving that vaccine treatment to. So, but I'm looking forward to that being done as part of the effort that we work together to build on Operation Warp Speed.
The key here, though, that you mentioned is the safety. And even though you say that there might be some risk, the risk is on the financial side, not on the safety side, despite what Kamala Harris, you know, I remember her debate, you know, when she was trying to politicize the process. That's it. The risk is on the financial side. It's not on the safety side. And that's the one thing that I think we have to emphasize. They're not rushing any of the health side of it. It's just there may be a financial risk, but that's a risk worth taking in order to get the virus to the population as possible.
We might be spending some money that we wouldn't have otherwise.
But that's money
because
well
we wanted to start the process, get the manufacturing moving forward. It was really sad to see Kamala Harris making a statement about how unsafe the vaccines are. She said that multiple times. It was really terrible the past week when Governor Cuomo said people should be very skeptical of the vaccine development. I mean, we're actually following the normal vaccine development process, testing the drugs, making sure they work, going through and getting FDA approval for those. That process is still being followed. We want to make sure that what comes out is safe. And I don't believe that every vaccine will pan out, every one of these efforts, because that's, if you look at historically, that's just not the case when you go through that process. But because there's so many drug companies all working through this same process and going through it to develop a vaccine, I'm very confident we will have multiple vaccines available in the very short term.
Well, and, you know, speaking of revenues and monies, one of the things that I've been, again, I get your press releases and I see some of the emails. I encourage people to sign up for your newsletter because that's how you keep in touch with folks. If they're not always able to attend your town halls and things. But there have been a ton of grant money that has come down to Sedgwick County and even some of the surrounding areas lately. Just within the last month or so, we've seen grants for the North Junction. My wife and I have to travel that North Junction all the time. I'm so glad to see that project getting started. You had a grant for the DOJ, just got a grant for WSU. You had a grant for the Harvey County School District, just got a grant. So there's tons of money, not just COVID-related money, but there's federal grant money that's coming down to Sedgwick County, Harvey County. This is great news for people and your school districts and local governments that are needing money right now.
Yeah, it really is. And thank you for mentioning about the newsletter that we do out of the official office and making sure that we make sure that people are aware of what's going on. That's a big thing that I want to do is make sure facts get out there. So, I mean, if anybody's interested in signing up for our newsletter from the official office, our website's estes.house.gov, and you can go and sign up for the newsletter and trying to get access to this information. But part of what we talk about is just things that are going on. And we mentioned the grants there. And obviously the Build Grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation is to help fund the North Junction projects. And there's multiple phases there. The grant that we just worked on and got approved through the U.S. Department of Transportation is for $21 million to help out with the gold phase of that project, which is really the major phase in helping, you know, anybody who's driven through North Junction knows that there's a lot of help that needs to be done.
We have to drive that every day. Now, the question is, can you get it done quickly?
Yeah.
In a week?
There's a big project laid out. It's a large project. In fact, I believe it's the largest project in the state, most important project that's going on in the state right now. There's some other big ones being finished up here in Sedgwick County as well as in Johnson County. And there's other needs across the state. But, in terms of looking at the most major impact on so many people, whether it's commuters, whether it's the transportation logistics of folks going north and south or east and west. And so it was important. I called Secretary Chow this summer and talked to her about, you know, this is a project that's important. The grant is important for that effort. And, trying to just walk through the impact on Kansas, walk through the impact on particularly South Central Kansas, but on a commuters and logistics side. And so that was all important. And, you know, that's a great thing that we can get, use of federal money to help with things. We did the Safe Schools Grant with Harvey County in terms of helping them with some of their the COPS program within the school safety aspects, with violence against women. I mean, a project at Wichita State and being able to have the Department of Justice funding to help with that effort. And so that's so important that we, so many things are related to COVID-19 and so many things that's impacted us with that this year. But we also have to remember there's a lot of other things that are going on, and we have to continue to address those.
Well, and speaking of COVID-19, obviously the Senate has been wrestling with, you've seen Nancy Pelosi seems to come on every day to complain about Steve Mnuchin. What are the chances on the House side? What do you think the chances are of another COVID stimulus plan before the election, after the election? What are your thoughts on that?
So I'm really disappointed. I talked earlier about, earlier this spring we were able to come together with four different relief bills that were bipartisan, passed both the House and the Senate with Republican and Democrat votes. And now Nancy Pelosi, in her role as Speaker, has decided that it's better politically to not have a deal. And she's putting on this show of trying to get a negotiation. She passed a politically charged bill back earlier in the summer and called it a relief package. But in reality, it was over $3 trillion of the wish list things that have been talked about for years. I mean, that have been brought up on the floor of the House that I've had to vote against before. Things like union pension bailout, things like the Green New Deal provisions were included in that. Redoing some of the rules and regulations around food stamps and some of the other
stimulus money for illegal aliens.
So then they pitched this as, well, this was the negotiating piece. And so
taxpayer funding for abortion was in that thing. Yeah. That thing's loaded with socialist plans.
And then instead of doing serious negotiating back and forth, or even bringing a small bill to the floor. You know, we've talked about multiple times trying to bring to floor a bill brought up by Representative Steve Chabot, who's the ranking member in small business, to actually reactivate the Paycheck Protection Program, which was a huge success out of our relief programs earlier. We had authorized another $138 billion that wasn't applied for previously. So it's already been authorized. It's already been included in our expected spending. But the time limit ran out for people to sign up for that. So we can't even get the Speaker to bring that bill to the floor to actually keep going forward with that project. So it's really sad. You know, instead, what she did was last month bring back up a somewhat reduced version of her pseudo stimulus bill from earlier in the year. And, you know, one of the notable things that she'd reduced out of that was to cut $600 million in funding for law enforcement.
Right.
And
yeah.
So
you defunding
know,
the police.
Yeah. Yeah. And which was ridiculous things to do in terms of, are you really serious about focusing on that? So I really don't think there'll be any stimulus passed before the election cycle. I think there may be some things brought up when we get to December 11th, which is what we've only authorized funding for the federal government until December 11th. So we've got to have another mega bill come up to talk through that and talk about some year-end things there related to that. I don't like running the country this way. We need to focus on what's legitimate legislation. Let's run some bills. Let's follow what we learned in civics class. In terms of how to introduce legislation, run it through one chamber and then the other, and the president sign off on it, and let's move forward instead of bundling things up and then making one huge bill that somebody can figure out a way to to stuff a lot of junk into it along the way.
Well, Congressman, I know we've only got another minute or so. You mentioned we were 9 days out from the election. You've got, I know, you've got an election on your hands. You've been out and about. I know you've been doing town halls and talking to folks. In the minute or so that we've got left, how have things been going? I'm sure the response has been good. I've seen you all over. You were on the Remain Red bus tour, so you've been going all over the 4th District.
Yeah, so it's great. And a lot of during the election cycle, I continue to do a lot of things that we do during the normal course of the year is getting out, meeting with folks, meeting at businesses, meeting at schools, hospitals. A little bit tougher dynamic with COVID-19 of how do we get together with folks, doing a lot more Zoom calls and conversations through that. But you overlay that with, some candidate forums and debates along the way. And so I've not taken it for granted. I mean, I focus on, I have for the last 3.5 years, is what's important for Kansas, what's important for South Central Kansas and the 4th District, and making sure that we're addressing those issues and continuing to provide that service. And so continue to expect having, the honor of representing Kansas, which I hope will happen when we come to Election Day, and people will continue to vote and support me. So we're just trying to help other members as well to get through the process, understand some of the issues that are out there and how do we make things happen.
Well, Congressman, I know if folks are interested, if they want to follow you, they can follow you on Twitter at Ron Estes KS. And, of course, on the web, they can get you estes4congress.com, correct?
Right, correct.
Congressman, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming in and sitting with us. You've got 9 days. I know you've got to get back out there, and you're probably not door knocking. Actually, knowing you, you probably are door knocking, but we appreciate you, brother. Carry on the fight, and wish you the best of luck. I know I've got a yard sign for you in my yard. We need to get more yard signs for you out there.
All right, great. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity to just talk about all the things that are going on.
We'll take a quick break, but after the bottom of the hour break, Trump 2020 campaign strategic advisor Boris Epstein will be with us. We're going to recap Thursday's presidential debate. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.